The scripture that we read for you this morning is probably not something that you would have anticipated on the Sunday before Christmas. Maybe the Sunday before Easter, but not the Sunday before Christmas. And yet it perfectly gets the very point of what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. Empathy. Empathy is a powerful thing. You can have sympathy for somebody and tell them you're sorry and all of that, but when somebody comes alongside of you and shows you empathy, they don't offer much in terms of answers. They just listen to your questions and to your struggles. And when you get done, you know in your heart that somebody else has experienced what you've experienced. Maybe it's somebody that just comes down and sits beside you for a few minutes and listens and shares and empathy. Maybe it's found in a song. Somebody sings a song. You maybe sing it out of your hymnal, and there are certain words that jump out at you or certain phrases that jump out at you. Maybe it's in reading a poem, that as you read what that author has written, you just know that somebody has gone down the same road that you have gone. And you realize that whether you feel hurt or loss, you aren't the only one that has experienced what it is that you're experiencing. At the end of Jesus' life, one of his disciples, a guy by the name of Philip, had one of those moments. He's confused, he's frustrated, and Philip just has kind of a breakdown because of his confusion and frustration. You see, Jesus and his boys were celebrating Passover, and it was just a few hours away before Jesus would die. He was trying to explain things to his guys one last time because it just felt like the room was spinning out of control. Jesus was trying to apply some patches where he could, but the disciples still weren't getting it. And in the end, Philip interrupts. In the end, he's just trying to get an understanding, and he interrupts Jesus and he says, "Something maybe you have felt at times in life." He says, look, Jesus, just show us the Father, and that'll be enough. Assure us that things aren't really going out of control. Assure us that God is part of this whole ugly situation that we seem to be experiencing. That God knew our names and that God was paying attention to the details of our lives. And maybe some of you at times have experienced that same feeling, that same thought. Lord, would you just give us a sign? Would you just let us know that you're there? If I just knew that God was in control, if I just knew he knew the details of my life, then things would be fine. Or at least finer. And the reason maybe some of you at one point or another gave up on Christianity is because you've never seen a sign. And you just wonder. You just wonder. We started a short series last week. I think you've seen the bumper stickers, the little ornaments that say, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all part of an effort to help us try to keep Christ in the middle of Christmas. And I go along with that. Now, if the New Testament writers are correct, which I believe they are, they say he is the reason for the season. But actually, if you think about it, is Jesus really the reason for the season? Okay, let's go back to last week. Yes. The fact of the matter is, you are the reason for the season. If we wouldn't have created such a messed up, chaotic, and sometimes very ugly world, there would have been no need for Jesus. So ultimately, you and I am the reason for the season. We wanted to look at some of the characteristics or some of the reasons why Jesus is indeed not so much the reason for the season, but we are sure so glad that he came along. Last week we said he came to bless the world. The reason for the season, Jesus, why do we celebrate him? It's because he came to bless the world. He came to help us. He came to help us become more focused. He helped us to more fully see what God was about. And you are part of that, I don't know if I'd call it tradition, but that reality. Tomorrow we're going to go to the food bank. Several weeks ago, you were all here and packed shoeboxes and buckets and hygiene kits. You were part of blessing the world that day. The Heifer Project. A second reason that Jesus came, the second reason why we could argue that he is the reason for the season is a little more personal, a little more gritty. It's to demonstrate what God is like to everyone. At times I forget about this. At times I look at some of the other people around me and I look at their attitudes and their actions and I'm thinking, have we been paying much attention to Jesus lately? He came to illustrate for all of us what God is like. He came to clarify for us all of our concepts of God and to help us see him more clearly. Have you ever looked at something and said, I think I know that. I think I understand that. I think I can take the next step in the process. And then later on, look at it a little differently, from a little different perspective, and said, gee, my understanding was really, really flawed. The Apostle Paul lived most of his life thinking, I got God figured out. I know what his next move's going to be. I know what he likes. I know what he doesn't like. And then in half an afternoon on his journey down the Damascus Road, his whole understanding of God changed. He had looked at God for the first part of his life. He had had some of the best Hebrew teachers, Israelite teachers, and in one afternoon, his whole picture of God changed. As he stepped onto the pages of history, if you would have asked him at that moment, are you right with God? And as you're thinking of about who God is, right? And he would have said, not a problem. I have studied from the best. I have been trained by the best. Are you right with God? Of course I am. And then he came to the realization just that quickly that his understandings were flawed. His understandings changed as he met the person of Jesus Christ. Prior to Jesus, he had thought he was doing the right things. He even said that he was faultless, which was the word that he used. And then he had this encounter. And then he writes, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the greatest. So he goes from being faultless to being, what was the word? Faultful. Okay. I'm not sure that's a word, but that's what we're trying to say. Actually, I went from being faultless to being the worst. See, you can tell a lot of things by the shadow that they get. You guys can't see this, but I have a shadow with me. All right. Now, that's a shadow of me. You can tell some things from looking at that shadow, can't you? All right. But you can't tell everything by looking at that shadow. Things will look distorted. Things will look out of line. We all cast a shadow. The shadow can miss things and deceive us about the actual reality. But Paul is saying, listen, as you look at that shadow, you are looking at it from a viewpoint that there is a shadow caster who casts the shadow, and we can figure some of it out, but we can't figure it all out. Shadow casters cast shadows. And Paul wrote, these are a shadow of the things to come, that are to come. The reality, however, is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Then at Christmas, the shadow caster came to dwell with us, to demonstrate for us what God was really, really like. Who God likes. What he likes, what displeases him. There's always been a mystery up until that point of time because we just saw the image of the shadow. But in Christ, we see the reality of who God is. Another thing we have to keep in mind about shadows and about our understandings. This will get you going this morning. Who can explain to me where a baby comes from?
It's complicated.
Yeah. Well, it's more complicated to a 5-year-old than it is to a 15-year-old, isn't it?
Depends on how much detail you
want to
get into.
Yeah. And it's different to a 25-year-old.
We still don't know.
Well, an airplane, an Airbus 390 is 600,000? No, it's 6,000. I don't know. It's heavy. How do you explain the ability for a Airbus 390 to take off? Trust. Thrust. Okay. So it's one thing to explain it to a 5-year-old. It's another to explain it to a 15-year-old. It's another thing to explain it to a 25-year-old. God is always accommodating to us to help explain things at a level that we can understand. And he finally came to a point where he decided to reveal himself in the clearest possible way. He entered the world because he wanted you to know without question who God was and what God is like. At the end of his ministry, hours before his death, he and his disciples are in Jerusalem for the Passover. The disciples thought it would be at that moment that he would rip off his rabbi robe and proclaim himself king. They looked at Jesus and said, "Rabbi, you're telling us all these bad things. Why did we come to Jerusalem? Why didn't we just play it safe and stay in Galilee?" And Peter says to him, "I'll never betray you. Others may leave, but I'll stay." And Jesus says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Peter. I will leave you, and where I am going, you cannot go now. I will leave you. I will eventually come back for you." And Peter says, "No, no, 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 no. I will not betray you. I will not deny you. I will be with you." And John, who wrote about Peter's life, looks down from the curtains of the balcony of history, and he watches this replaying, and he says, "Listen, Peter's understanding of Jesus was growing and growing and growing. The more time he spent with him, the longer Jesus lived on this earth. And it was only because of those men who denied him at one point in time that later on would they sit down and write the Gospels that would give people a more fuller understanding of who God was and really got Christianity out of the first century. You see what Jesus allowed to happen, what God did at Christmas, was he sent his son. Jesus came into this world, the physical image of an invisible God. And he said, "This is who God is. This is what God is like." And you can look all you want, but you don't look beyond Christ. You don't look out into the world for the answers. You don't even look inside yourself for the answers. But when you look at Jesus, you get a more fuller understanding of who he is who God is and how he wants us to live. Let's pray together. Lord, you call us to live with childlike faith. And yet, Lord, we get into this chaotic world and we let the pressures of this world beat us down. Help us, Lord, to see as you see, to act as you act, and Lord, to be that bright light in a world of darkness that so many are searching for. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to show us who you are, to redirect us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.